It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Well, good Thursday morning to you folks. No, I'm not Sandy. It's Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. Good to be with you on this 25th day of January 2018. You have approximately 330 shopping days left till Christmas. I say that as a joke, but you know there are folks out there that have already been buying Christmas presents with the January sales and all that sort.
Fred, I wish I could do that.
I can't get into the next coming Christmas season until we get a whole lot closer to that.
Yeah.
But there are folks out there, you know, they go to Hobby Lobby when they have their big sales and that sort of thing. And let's get ready for next Christmas. But I just can't do that kind of thing. Hey, really good to be with you this morning, folks. A lot of news happening. President Trump has just arrived in Davos, Switzerland, and the focus will be on him and his economic policies. There are a lot of people around the world who are, dare I say, socialists. And you can say a lot about President Trump. One thing he is not is a socialist. He is an economic guru, a capitalist, and his economic policies are being demonstrated right here in this country with the ongoing welcoming by corporate America and passing along his tax reform policy to employees. You just heard our newscast a few moments ago, where Starbucks, not known to be a conservative corporation in this country, just announcing yesterday that they are giving employees a pay raise and they're going to do stocks and all of that sort of thing. And guess what? They credit President Trump's tax reform. So there you have it. And they join a couple of dozen other, at least, corporations across the country. You know, it was funny the other day. I was listening to the daily White House press briefing. And one of the reporters there asked Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the White House spokeswoman, well, don't you think President Trump taking credit for all of this, his tax reform, taking credit for all these things that corporate America doing for their employees, pay raises, bonuses, all those sorts of things. This reporter said, don't you think they could have done this during the 8 years that Barack Obama was in office? And the answer to that was very simple. They elected not to because of the tax penalties that were in place under Barack Obama. Tax reform gets the credit. And all this money that was sitting offshore, you know, the reporter was suggesting, you know, they could have done it then. Yeah, they could have done it then, but they didn't do it because they would be penalized for it when they brought that money back. So tax reform, even amongst the very liberal of corporations in this country, getting the credit. All right, much in the news, and there's new developments this morning in the whole release of this FISA memo. FISA, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, put in place right after 9/11. And the whole aim of FISA, the special court, was to make it easier to go after terrorists or those in this country who had terrorist plans. So that's what the court was set up for. But now what we're learning, and the indications are coming out from this FISA memo, which so far can only be read by members of Congress, what's coming out is that the Barack Obama administration, the DOJ, the FBI was weaponized to use this court to go after members of the Trump campaign and even Donald Trump himself. That is what's being learned. Now listen to this, folks. Tucker Carlson last night on his program on Fox News got into the latest development, and the latest development is this. two Democrats, Senator Dianne Feinstein and Congressman Adam Schiff. These two members, they are now suggesting that those who are advocating for the public release of this four-page FISA memo are really doing the work of Vladimir Putin. That you're really helping the Russians. Let's have a listen to what Tucker Carlson had to say. He's going to fill in some of the details of this nonsense coming from Feinstein and Schiff and their reasons for it, and then what Tucker Carlson thinks about all this.
Senator Dianne Feinstein and Congressman Adam Schiff, Democrats both from the state of California, are warning that if you want to read that document, that memo, which, by the way, was prepared by the U.S. government for American lawmakers, you are somehow in league with the Vladimir Putin regime. Yesterday, those two sent a letter to the CEOs of Facebook and Twitter claiming that calls to release the memo are, quote, an ongoing attack by the Russian government through Kremlin-linked social media actors directly acting to intervene and influence our democratic process, end quote. Got that? Anyone asking for more transparency from this government, and that would include elected members of Congress and this show, among others, anyone who's doing that is participating in a foreign propaganda campaign that hurts America. In other words, they're traitors. The implication of Schiff and Feinstein's letter is that Twitter and Facebook ought to do something to help, by the way, quickly. Like, I don't know, censor the accounts of anyone who wants to see the memo. You'd think the media might have a big problem with all of this. For centuries, the American press has fought efforts by politicians and those in power to hide unflattering information about themselves. That was noble work. It's the reason that the press is mentioned in the First Amendment. But they're not doing that anymore. On television today, you heard famous anchors make the opposite case. They suggested that calls to release the memo are simply tactics by right-wing crazies and Vladimir Putin to undermine America because they're unpatriotic. And that's when you knew it was over, the long and worthy tradition of journalists as watchdogs, holding the powerful to account. Turns out the journalists have switched teams. They're with the powerful now. They'd like you to shut up.
Well, there you have it. Tucker Carlson, never shy about speaking his mind on things. But don't you find that absolutely amazing? That Dianne Feinstein and Adam Schiff, these Democrats from California, would actually suggest that people promoting the idea that this FISA memo should be made public are actually doing the work of Vladimir Putin and helping the Russians. Isn't that the most ridiculous thing that you have ever heard? You know why they don't want it released, folks? Because they know, and they have probably read that memo, and they have seen what's in it. Hey, listen, Judge Andrew Napolitano was on Fox and Friends this morning. And he was talking about the fact that this memo ought to be released. And the reason the opposition is to it, because others who have read it, and you've heard Republicans on the air, because they're not allowed by law to reveal it to you, but they're using some very strong language with regards to the damaging information that's in there about the Obama administration. Cut number three.
I am furious over this. I haven't seen it, of course, but it's been described by members of the House Intelligence Committee as career-ending, KGB-like, lawless behavior.
No wonder they don't want it out.
Right. By the NSA, our domestic spying apparatus, and by the Intelligence Division of the FBI. This committee sat on this while Congress expanded FISA. So 22 members of Congress knew these secrets of lawless behavior by the NSA, and the rest of Congress did not know about it. The 22 sat on it while the rest of Congress debated and expanded FISA.
So who's
they
going?
Should have known, the rest of Congress should have known what the House Intelligence Committee knows. Now, if the House Intelligence Committee doesn't vote to release it, I encourage any member of the Intelligence Committee to go to the floor of the House and read it into the record, because the speech and debate clause of the Constitution protects members of Congress from the consequences, the legal consequences of what they say on the floor of the House.
How are they going to get the copy, though? Isn't it still in the skiff? Isn't it in the secret room?
They can characterize it. I'm not suggesting somebody steal a document, but somebody can certainly, from their memory, tell everybody what's in there. Why does the government treat us like we're children? Why don't we know who has abused the power we've given them?
Right.
Who knows of the abuse and who knowingly looked the other way?
And there you have it. And just for background purposes, once again, folks, The reason why the release of this FISA memo is so important, because members of Congress, as Napolitano mentioned there, is that what happened was, the indication is during the Obama administration, what happened was that they basically used that FISA court, which was set up, as I mentioned, to go after terrorists and terrorist plotters in this country. They actually used it to go before this FISA court and say, we want to listen in. We want to listen into the conversations going on within the Trump administration. Now, was there any indication at all of Russian collusion? That's all nonsense. What they wanted to do was find out what the Trump campaign was doing. This was during the election campaign in 2016. They wanted to undermine. Is there any reason why we should doubt at this point that the Obama administration was out to do everything they could to see Hillary Clinton elected and Donald Trump defeated? Now, this all goes, the Peter Strzok, the Lisa Page, members of the FBI who were trading these text messages back and forth about how much they hated Donald Trump, how much they hated Donald Trump, and how much they wanted Hillary Clinton to win. The whole Mueller investigation, the alleged Russia collusion, folks, the more and more that we read and investigate this, it's all a ruse. Shouldn't happen. To that point, Judge Andrew Napolitano this morning, the news is that President Trump is considering or will go and sit down under oath and give testimony to Robert Mueller, who is heading this alleged Russian involvement in the election. Judge Napolitano basically believes that this might be a mistake. Cut number two.
The bottom line is, you don't talk to a guy that owns a grand jury, and Bob Mueller owns two grand juries, one in Virginia and one in Washington, D.C. Look, the president is convinced he's done nothing wrong, but the president couldn't possibly know what Bob Mueller knows about the case, the thousands of documents he's seen and the hundreds of witnesses that he and his team have investigated. This is what we call a perjury trap. It's not actually perjury because the president would not be under oath. This is a conversation.
He said he would do it under oath.
Well, under oath means in front of a grand jury, which is even more dangerous for him. He has a choice to decline to speak to Bob Mueller, his prosecutors, and his investigators. If he is subpoenaed by the grand jury, he has no choice. There, he'll have to decide whether or not to invoke the Fifth Amendment. If he invokes the Fifth Amendment, the word gets out. That'll be politically catastrophic, but legally, it will protect him. If he answers and answers the way we know he likes to answer, or he doesn't always use, most respectfully, an economy of words, he's going to give them an opportunity to trip him up. They tripped up George Papadopoulos. They tripped up Mike Flynn. They are expert at doing that. You can't talk somebody out of charging you with a crime if they're determined to do it.
There you have it, Judge Andrew Napolitano on Fox and Friends this morning. What is the judge saying? The president should ignore the idea of going to speak to Robert Mueller, who's heading up this investigation into alleged Russia collusion in the 2016 election. Remember, Mueller was heading the FBI. His 2IC, second in command, was James Comey, the guy who let Hillary Clinton go in the email scandal. Mueller lacks credibility. More and more evidence to that point. And the question is, why would the president put himself in a situation when he knows the agenda, possibly of Robert Mueller, is to get the president any way that they can? All part. You talk about conspiracy? Yeah, there's a great conspiracy going on in Washington, D.C., and it's against President Trump. All right, much more ahead here on Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. The one-year anniversary of President Trump just occurred last weekend, but media really didn't talk about it all that much. They wanted to talk about the government shutdown. But we're going to talk about it to a gentleman who has been with President Trump, endorsed him right from the beginning. They get a report card on the first year of President Donald Trump. Back in a moment.
If you like trips where you have to plan everything, then maybe our tour is not for you. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman. with American Family Association and American Family Radio. Of course, I'm talking about our spiritual heritage tours of Washington, D.C., Mount Vernon, and then a separate trip to Williamsburg, Virginia. And guess what? We take care of everything. All you have to do is, as they say, show up. But we take these spiritual heritage tours twice a year, once in June and once in September. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation, who is a historian, will be joining us for both tours, and he will tell you everything you need to know about the places, the times, the events that we will experience on these tours of Washington, D.C. and Williamsburg. For all the information, just go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com for everything.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper and deeper in credit card debt and you're not sure how to fix the problem? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management is a nonprofit organization that will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, and reduce your interest rates by as much as 60%. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. It's not a loan. It's a smart way to relieve your stress, meet your obligations, and preserve your self-respect. If your debt has you down, gather up your bills and call this toll-free number for a free, no-obligation debt analysis. 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813. If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Paul Kizito. I'm a junior biology major here at Truett McConnell, and I came from Uganda. What I love about TMU is the one, number one, is the heart of, you know, of just the school and the love for God, for Christ. You can see it once you step on the campus. Like, you can see it's best, like, the foundation for TMU is Christianity.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell says he is at a loss to explain why fewer people are watching football games, telling reporters he suspects it's because younger Americans don't watch television. He dismissed concerns the massive drop in viewership and the decline in game day attendance had to do with players protesting the national anthem. To the contrary, many football fans are disgusted with the NFL, refusing to order players to stand for the national anthem. And to rub salt into the wound, the NFL's decision to ban American veterans from advertising in the Super Bowl program just made matters worse. The NFL contends that asking people to stand for the Star Spangled Banner is akin to making a political statement. Yet Commissioner Goodell seems puzzled why viewership is down. It does not take a brain surgeon to figure out that football fans have just decided to take a knee. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today on this very busy news day. You know, American Family Radio is a great place to park it right here on AFR Talk, news and information throughout the day. But we also have great preaching programs, and one of those that I listen to every day on my way into work is Pathway to Victory. And it is hosted by Pastor Robert Jeffress of First Baptist Dallas. But Pastor Jeffress is well known for far beyond being pastor of that church. He's out there on Fox News. He's out there talking about what President Trump is up to. In fact, he was one of the first to endorse Donald Trump candidate way back when it wasn't a popular thing to do. And we've asked him to come on with us this morning to give a little report card of the first year of the Trump presidency. And Dr. Robert Jeffress, thank you for joining us this morning, sir.
Great to be with you, Fred.
Take us back, I guess, a couple of years when many, even within the evangelical community, weren't thinking about at all President Trump, then candidate Donald Trump, endorsing him. But you went way out on the limb and stuck your neck out for him and have not looked back. Take us back to a little bit of your reasoning as to why you chose Donald Trump right out of the chute.
Well, it really was very easy for me. I mean, I felt like he was the only candidate running who had the leadership ability to reverse the downward death spiral this country was in that could get elected. And I had my reasons. I didn't think the others were electable. I thought he was the one who could do it. And after meeting with him a number of times, I really felt like he could win and that he was really serious about fulfilling these promises he was making to evangelical Christians. And he has certainly proven that to be true after this first year of his presidency.
You know, a lot of the early opposition to Donald Trump, there were accusations about his character. And I mean, those questions were thrown at you a whole lot. You know, how did you respond to that?
Well, look, let's face it. I mean, do you know a political leader who's not flawed in some way? I don't know a pastor, including myself, who's not flawed in some way. And, you know, we want to try to grade people's sin or grade their flaws. God doesn't do that. We're all sinners. We all need a Savior. But look, I think we knew when we were supporting President Trump, we weren't voting for a saint or a Sunday school teacher. We were electing a hard, tough, seasoned leader who could reverse the downward death spiral we were in. And so, you know, I felt like that's what was important there. And I always went back to the analogy, which, by the way, I think is one even applicable for some of the current debate going on. About Ronald Reagan. Look, evangelicals overwhelmingly chose to back Ronald Reagan for president, even though he was divorced. He was a known womanizer in Hollywood when he was an actor there. As governor of California, he supported the most liberal abortion law in California history. His wife practiced astrology, and yet evangelicals chose him over a Baptist Sunday school teacher named Jimmy Carter, who had been faithfully married to one woman. It wasn't because evangelicals supported divorce or philandering or astrology. It's because they supported Reagan's policies that he would enact. And that's why we get behind the candidate. You know, people ask me now, with some of this current controversy about President Trump and allegations, how can you support him? Well, we are supporting President Trump because of his policies, not because of his personal piety.
You know, I guess it puzzles me a little bit, Pastor Jeffress, when I hear evangelicals who just continue to beat the drum against his president, yet I believe he has done more, and Franklin Graham came out and said this, he's done more to defend the Christian faith than any other recent president. So what is the agenda of these evangelicals that continue to attack President Trump?
Well, I think there are several different agendas at work here. I think some of it is just wounded pride. They know they were wrong, and they just have a hard time admitting it. But I think there's something else that may be going on, Fred. You know, I think there has been a disconnect, a continued disconnect between what I call the evangelical elites and the average person in the pew. You know, the heads of some of these organizations or Christianity Today magazine. I mean, I think you have these evangelical elites who keep beating against President Trump. I remember during the election, you know, they could not get behind him. And I think they were totally disconnected from the average person in the pew. You know, evangelicals by an 81% margin voted for him for president, and yet this little elite group, establishment elites of the evangelicals, still don't get behind him. And, you know, you have to wonder, why can't they support a president who is the most pro-life, the most pro-religious liberty, the most pro-Israel president we've had in history, without bar. Why can't they get behind that? And I think it comes down to probably they deep down don't embrace those beliefs that the people in the pews do. I mean, if you talk to them privately, many of them, they are just as concerned, perhaps more concerned, about the Palestinians as they are about the Jews who have a right to live in the land that God gave them. When it comes to those California or the Colorado bakers, they really believe, if you talk to them privately, they should be forced to bake that cake for the gay wedding. When it comes to abortion, they are more concerned with the plight of the dreamers than they are about protecting the unborn. That's what I think it gets down to. They don't embrace the beliefs of the average evangelical in the pew.
Well, to your last point there, and it kind of introduces my next question for you. During the March for Life in Washington, D.C. last week, which was, once again, it's a yearly event to draw attention to the plight in this country of millions of unborn babies being executed by abortionists. And this pro-life march, I mean, it's fairly clear. It's meant to draw attention to overturn Roe v. Wade. But there was a meeting of evangelicals in connection. They were in Washington, and of course, they all described themselves as being pro-life and against abortion. But there was a meeting that spun that into a thesis, I'll call it, that says, if you are pro-life, if you defend the unborn, then from that, you need to be, you know, all lives are important, they're saying, to
right.
God. So that means, you know, we ought to be pro-refugee, we ought to be pro-immigrant, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the participants in that meeting was Richard Stearns, who heads up World Vision. He's retiring soon. And, you know, anybody who follows politics, I think their antennae went up right away when they talk about refugees and immigrants. But Stearns, here's what Stearns had to say. Some of the same people that value the unborn as precious lives don't want refugees to seek asylum in our country or may want to build a wall to keep out immigrants that might come across illegally. So really what they were saying, I think it was attack against President Trump. I don't know anybody, any Christian that I've talked to who have said, you know, all refugees are bad, we shouldn't let any refugees in, that immigration is bad, we shouldn't have any immigrants in this country. I'm an immigrant, I came here from Canada under a green card 20 years ago. But they're spinning it into something else, and I was shocked and dismayed that they would stoop to that to use a pro-life event, which should focus on abortion, for a political agenda and attack against the president.
Yeah, let me get to the bottom line on that. There is a God-given right to life. There is no God-given absolute right to immigrate to the United States of America. Those are not equivalents. I believe most any of us are very sympathetic with the plight of the Dreamers. I've been in the Oval Office with the president. I've heard him express what I believe is a sincere desire to work this problem out. I mean, I think if we are pro-family, we don't want to see scenes like we saw at the Detroit airport where a man who's been here for 30 years through no fault of his own is separated from his wife and children. I mean, we don't want to see that happen. President Trump is very concerned about working out a solution for the Dreamers, but he's also concerned about securing the borders of our country and fulfilling his constitutional responsibility to protect us nation. It doesn't have to be, at least on our end, an either-or situation. We can do both. We can work out a solution for the Dreamers, but we can secure the borders as well. But you've just heard Chuck Schumer says he doesn't think you can do both. To him, it is one thing only, and that's take care of the Dreamers. And I think the president would be negligent in his responsibilities if he allowed that to happen.
You know, this event in Washington, D.C., we're just talking about that kind of tried to make the point that if you're pro-life, you should be pro-refugee, pro-immigrant, including illegal immigrants. It was co-sponsored by the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. Does it bother you at all that there appears to be an anti-Trump political agenda in a very high place in the Southern Baptist Convention?
Yes, it just doesn't bother me. It bothers lots of pastors who talk to me. It certainly bothers our church members. And what really, look, I don't care what any individual head of any agency, how he votes and what he does, but I think there's a real problem when any organization, any agency of the Southern Baptist Convention comes out and condemns Christians as being morally bankrupt who voted for President Trump. I mean, that is a real problem. It's a problem, I think, that's being addressed right now in our convention, and it just shouldn't happen.
Well, the head of that organization I just mentioned is Russell Moore, and he has created a lot of controversy for a lot of different reasons, including filing an amicus brief endorsing the idea of building a mosque in a community in New Jersey. They had an opportunity to basically let him go last year at the convention, and they didn't do it.
Well, you know, the Southern Baptist system is one of the most convoluted ways of trying to run an operation that I've ever seen. And, you know, without getting into the weeds, you know, every one of these agencies in the Southern Baptist Convention, whether it's like the ERLC or it's a seminary, they have their own board of trustees that basically control what's happening there. But there is a lot of upset. There's a lot of unrest. I talked to denominational officials who will agree that giving has been going down in the Southern Baptist Convention because people are tired of things like this. And again, everybody ought to have the freedom to have his own political beliefs and so forth, but they don't have a right to lambast and judge as morally bankrupt people who have a different point of view, especially when those people are paying their salaries.
Where do you think all this, just to change topics here a little bit, where do you think all of this investigation into alleged collusion between President Trump and the Russians, et cetera, is going? Your thoughts in particular about this FISA memo that people want released that would point to the Obama administration weaponizing a government agency to attack a candidate for presidency?
I think there needs to be a full congressional investigation of this. This is time for total transparency. People need to have confidence in their FBI and in their Department of Justice. And I just think these are institutions that transcend any one administration. And I think it's time to lay everything out there. I think there ought to be a congressional investigation so that we can know exactly what's going on here. I think at the end of the day, this is going to turn out to be a nothing burger. I think it's going to be like many investigations that there is no original crime. They're going to see if they can find one somewhere or in the process of investigating the crime, if they can find a crime. And what I really believe, Fred, and I said this to the president about 6 months ago, I said there is an axis of evil that has come together that is determined to get you out of office. And it's not only Democrats and the mainstream media, but it's others within the government who are not going to rest until you are no longer president. And I think that's what's going on here.
You know, the Bible says we're to pray for our leaders. Can I ask you, we just have about a minute left, to say a prayer for President Trump?
You bet. I'd be honored to. Father, we thank you for the great freedom you give us to live in a country like this. And we do want to obey your command to pray for those in authority. And, Father, we do pray for President Trump right now. We thank you that you placed him into office. You're the one who places every leader in office for a purpose. Thank you for the love that he has for the things that matter to us and what he's done in protecting the unborn and protecting religious liberty. And we know there are many forces at work against him. I would pray for him, Melania, Barron, and all of the family, that you would give them your wisdom, your peace, and help us to be a support to them. I know he's a man who seeks your wisdom, and Father, I pray you would grant that to him. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dr. Robert Jeffress, First Baptist Dallas, and we're proud to have you as part of American Family Radio Pathway to Victory each Monday to Friday at 6:05. Enjoy your ministry, sir.
Well, thank you for letting me partner with you, Fred.
All right, take care. Dr. Robert Jeffress, thank you. Well, there you have it, you know. We are told to pray for our leadership. Is President Trump perfect? No. But put your hand up out there if you think you are perfect. Far from it, right, folks? And I'll be the first to say that we are all fallen creatures, but thanks to the grace of God, what he did for us on Calvary's cross. Pray for our president. If he is not a Christian, pray that the Holy Spirit would continue to convict his heart. I'm thankful there are people like Robert Jeffress that are there that have the president's ear, because I know Pastor Jeffress and others, Franklin Graham, pray for this president. Every opportunity they get, they witness to him. I tell you what, I remember last year or 16 before the election, there were prayer meetings all over this country, and they prayed for the election results that God wanted. God gave us President Trump. We ought to be praying for him. All right, listen to Sandy Rios in the Morning, Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy. We're back right after the break.
But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Arch-feminist Gloria Steinem said global warming is the product of overpopulation. She goes further, saying that childbirth is threatening the planet. But God's word says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. Plus, God says children are a blessing. So we have Gloria Steinem on one side and God's word on the other. I think prudence requires that we go with the Lord on this one. Gloria Steinem proves rejecting God causes futility in one's thinking.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
This is Tim Armstrong from the Worthy Walk radio program. I encourage you to listen as we work verse by verse through the scriptures each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Time here on American Family Radio. Join me as we explore the Word of God and learn to apply its truths to our lives each day. The Worthy Walk radio program, Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Central Time on American Family Radio.
Women and men alike find themselves in despair after an abortion. Every woman who had an abortion was for a short time a mother, every man a father. But afterwards, they're all people in pain, anger, sadness, relationship problems. These often accompany an abortion. But there is hope. Call 866-482-LIFE. Your call is confidential, and you'll be talking with someone who has already been where you are and found the way out. 866-482-LIFE.
Dan Celia of Financial Issues.
Would you make one of the most important phone calls that you can make as far as your economic, your financial stewardship? I believe that permanent income is incredibly important to us, especially when you're retired. Listen, one thing we know for certain, the consumption of goods and your cost are never going to change. Make sure that you protect your income. Social Security, you will likely have, maybe a pension. Add to permanent income with a charitable gift annuity and do the Lord's work. There's no better organization to do it with than the AFA Foundation, and no better time in our economy than right now.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Yesterday, the U.S. Senate narrowly approved one of its most principled alumni to become our next ambassador at large for international religious freedom. Indeed, it was his principles concerning traditional marriage and the supremacy of the U.S. Constitution over foreign laws that violated that nearly cost Sam Brownback his confirmation. Every Senate Democrat voted against Ambassador Brownback. That's rather stunning, given that a number of them just figured out that their support for shutting down the government to secure an amnesty for illegal aliens put their re-elections at risk. My guess is that they'll shortly realize that voting against a formidable champion for religious liberty may well do the same. Either way, Sam Brownback deserves the support of every American as he works to halt the persecution of Christians and others subjected because of their religion to rape, torture, enslavement, and genocide. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy this morning. Really enjoyed that interview with Dr. Robert Jeffress. I tell you what, stop and think for a moment. And I'm going to speak to evangelical Christians in our audience. What president can you tell me has done more for the Christian community in this country than Donald Trump has done in the first year? Pro-life, right, without apology.
Right.
Pro-life without apology. That started during the election campaign. And he's been consistent with that. Number two, promoting religious freedom. just put into place in the Health and Human Services Department, this division to protect the rights of Christian doctors and nurses who don't want to be involved with abortion, to give them legal protection. And number three, Israel. Three things. No other president, Republican or Democrat, in my memory, and I'm 60 plus years old, has done more in those three areas. I believe God is blessing this president. And again, do we think he's perfect?
No.
The rough, the language, all of that. But what is it, even in some parts of the evangelical community, that's against this man? I cannot understand it. I want your thoughts on it. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840.
You know, Fred, we were talking in the break. You know, Jesus comes into us as we are, but he will never leave us as we are. And we're all a work in progress.
Yeah.
Trump's far from perfect. I'm far from perfect.
That's right.
You know, it's just amazing to watch. And who knows? But I do believe that God is using him, and he doesn't even realize how much he's being used.
Amen. Amen. Well, we prayed for President Trump just a moment ago, and I thank Dr. Robert Jeffers for doing that for us, and we ought to be praying because the Bible says we ought to be praying for leadership. But I want you to pray for someone else this morning too, folks. And that is the CEO of Planned Parenthood, Cecile Richards. It was learned yesterday she is stepping down after 10 years as the head of that horrible organization. And you say, well, Fred, why pray for her? Because her soul must be extremely dark. She has overseen the estimate of about the deaths of 3.5 million unborn babies during the 10 years she's been CEO of that organization. She has promoted it, defended it, and attacked anyone who is against Planned Parenthood. And as I say, her soul must be incredibly dark. So pray for Cecile Richards, that she would see the light, because as 2 Peter 3:9 says, our God doesn't want anybody to spend eternity in hell. She needs Jesus Christ. So while there'll be some celebration even in the evangelical community today over the fact that Cecile Richards is leaving that post, folks, they'll just get somebody else to come in just like her to promote it. So I pray for her. Please join me in doing that. Pray for Cecile Richards today, that she would find Jesus Christ, because eternity is forever. And God doesn't wish anybody to spend eternity in hell. That's why he came and died for our sins. Amen. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Hey, listen, before we go to our phones, you may have heard the highly paid multimillion dollar anchor of NBC News just spent several days in North Korea.
It was amazing.
Al, I want you, Rob, I want to play a little bit of his reporting from North Korea. North Korea, a regime that starves to death its own citizens, as you're well aware, been out threatening the United States, has nuclear weapons, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, hates the United States, is a threat to most of the world. Lester Holt goes there, and you think he was visiting Hawaii. It's just a wonderful place. Let's play a little bit of Lester Holt, NBC anchor Lester Holt in North Korea.
This is the Bunny Slope at a very modern ski resort here in North Korea. We're here because some of the athletes from the South and North, based on this new alliance, will be doing some of their training here. It's been announced the North Koreans will field 22 athletes in the upcoming Winter Games in South Korea. That's fueling some sense of hope and optimism.
Okay, there you have a little idea of Lester Holt reporting from. He was at a ski slope, folks. And here's what's been learned about this ski slope. $35 million the government spent on it there while its citizens are starving to death. Last year, reports are that it was basically nobody there. Nobody. Because really, they don't have money to afford skis. Yeah, so what you saw behind Lester Holt's report was a bunch of people there. But it has been noted that a lot of the people were dressed in the same garb. Do you think the government got a bunch of people, bought them little ski suits, and sent them out there?
Absolutely.
To be part of this propaganda. Well, I'll tell you what, there are still some honest people at NBC, and he is being condemned from some of his own people.
Needs to be.
For going over there and doing a propaganda pieces night after night. But I tell you, you know, and Pastor Jeffers is resting, this is part of the media campaign, folks. All day they will attack President Trump, but then one of the leaders of the secular media goes to North Korea and spins out happy tunes about what's going on there. You don't think there's a leftist agenda in the mainstream media? Think again.
What do you hear from them? Nothing but crickets.
Nothing but crickets. I know. All right, let's go to our phones. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. And we will go first to Arkansas and Jeff. Jeff, good morning. Welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I've just got a couple comments and things that I've noticed. First off, the Bible says that as long as we have God with us, who can stand against us? And I think that God is with Donald Trump because I think God and the evangelicals is who put Donald Trump in the office because God knows what would happen if Hillary Clinton came in. Mm-hmm. This country was founded on American values, on Christian values, and beliefs. Also, look, I would put anything past the Democratic Party because look what they did to Bernie Sanders, who was running against Hillary Clinton because Hillary Clinton was their golden child. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I wouldn't put anything past it. And also it says that power corrupts. And that's just my what I see.
Yes, thank you very much, Jeff. A lot of people see that. And it leaves a lot of folks shaking their heads. Why people, and I've talked to evangelical Christians who during the 2016 election said they wrote in a name on the ballot because they didn't want to vote for Donald Trump because they think he's an immoral man. All right? All kinds of allegations about him. So that was basically when you write something in, you're really helping the other candidate, which in this case was Hillary Clinton. The most silly thing you could do is write something in because you were supporting Hillary Clinton, a staunch defender of killing the unborn, not to mention so many other things, anti-Israel, all of those things that we talked about, punishing Christians for their opposition to the homosexual lifestyle. That's what you would have gotten Hillary Clinton. Yet some, even those who call themselves Christians, were willing to do that kind of thing. Cannot understand it. John in West Virginia, welcome to the program. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I just wanted to comment on why some Christians are not in favor of Donald Trump. And my comment would be, at least in my view, the man has no core. He is a habitual liar. You know, you look at the Access Hollywood tape, he comes out and says, that really wasn't my voice. And there's video evidence showing him there. And I think a lot of Christians are being played. Donald Trump was pro-abortion before he was anti-abortion.
Wait a minute now. That may be the case. You're talking about Donald Trump prior to wanting to be president of the United States. But he is, what do you say to the fact that he has been the most pro-life president that we have had since entering the office? See, the alternative was, John, to have Hillary Clinton in there, who would have promoted even more unborn babies being killed. So I hear what you're saying, John, but your opposition doesn't add up to the facts. Simple as that. Patsy in Louisiana, welcome to the program.
Well, good morning. First thing, I love Sandy Rios. I wish that you could have her on 2 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. I'll pass that along to her.
I mean, she's so amazing, and she kind of helps keep me from going totally insane with all this mess in our country. Mm-hmm. But the reason I have so many things to say, but I'm going to zero in on one thing. I don't know how many people that are listening will believe this, But I was watching Daystar TV, and there was a retired fireman that God had given words to about Donald Trump. And he told him, even before Donald Trump had announced that he was going to run for the presidency, God told this man that Donald Trump was going to be our next president. And that during his time in office, he was going to be able to select 5 Supreme Court justices, and that there were 3 major news networks that were going to go down the drain.
Wow.
And 3 major newspapers, news outlets that were going to go by the wayside. And
all right. Patsy, that's quite an interesting prophecy. Well, we know President Trump is there in office now. As to the others, 5 appointments to the Supreme Court, that would be a dream come true, that if that is the case, that's for sure. All right, I think we have time for one more call. Let's go to Oklahoma, and good morning to Lauren. Welcome to the program.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I want to admit, first of all, that I was not someone that thought or even for a minute wanted Donald Trump to be in office. But I will seriously say that I did, in fact, vote for him, like a lot of other people. I looked at our options. What was the lesser of 2 evils? Anyone with half a brain can see that there was no option but to vote for him. Writing in a third-party person would have been an idiotic thing to do, because that would have just meant more votes for Hillary, because a third-party person could never possibly win. So that just took common sense. But I'm looking back now, and you'd have to be a complete, utter idiot not to see that he is standing up for the unborn. He is standing up for Israel. He is speaking out for freedom of religion, and he is fighting to protect our country. Now, is he a perfect man? Like all of you said, no, he has flaws. But there's no one, including the caller that called before and talked about the secret Hollywood videotapes or whatever. We've all got skeletons in our closet. We all have things we should utterly be ashamed of. But he is in the position he is in because of who God is, not because of who we are. And because God has a plan for him, we need to do, as you have reminded us time and time again, is to pray for him. We have men like Dr. Jeffries who's speaking into his life. There are other key people in position who are speaking into his life. We need to support him and urge him to continue to moving in a godly, good direction for the sake of this country and for the sake of other people, because we will be a beacon of light as a Christian nation if we move forward and start moving towards the goals that this country had to begin with.
Yeah. Lauren, man, I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you very much. Much thought went into that. And so appreciate your call and appreciate you listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. And as Lauren has reminded us once again, we need to pray. We need to pray for this president. This is a nation right now that I believe, you know, God is watching us very closely, folks. And I think he's watching those that I believe have a political agenda against President Donald Trump. I believe there are many, even in the evangelical community out there, that are globalists, that do not believe in a strong America. And they're using the opportunity of a Donald Trump to try to undermine that. This is spiritual warfare, folks, that we're in right now. And we need to pray for God's wisdom. We need to pray for our president. And pray for Christians to see the light. Amen. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy this morning. Been good to be with you. And Lord willing, Sandy will be back with you again tomorrow morning. Bye for now. Keep listening to AFR.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.